Today's daf is Shabbos daf Nun Vav, and we are 15 lines from the bottom of daf Nun Hey Amid Beis, the two dots Reuven. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Chaim Yechiel Yosef ben Sara, Yitzchak Elio ben Chaya Sara, Avram Yekosil ben Gittel, Avram Kaddish ben Malka Bela, Eliakim Getzel ben Brana Esther, Baruch Tzvi ben Shalames Vega, Yael Bas Bela, and Rachel Maita Bas Sara. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilu Nishmas, Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Ochanan, and Shloime Zev ben Avram Yitzchak. So yesterday, the Gemara digressed a little bit and got into a very intense Agadita Gemara. Just to follow the paper trail, we're discussing the halachos of Shvisas Behema. The Mishnah said a halacha that a para is not allowed to go outside on Shabbos with a ritzua shebein karneha. And then the Mishnah said, parasoi shal Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah yoitzitz beritzua shebein karneha shaloi betzoni chachamim. Meaning, even though the chachamim held that a para is not allowed to go out with this ritzua shebein karneha, but the great Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Nasi, harei anikivem shivim shana, his para did go out that way, and it was shaloi betzoni chachamim. And the Gemara, after discussing that line in the Mishnah, concluded that really it wasn't Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's own parah that went out on Shabbos into a Rishus HaRabim with the Ritzua Shebein Karneha. Rather, it was his neighbor's. So why then did the Mishnah say that it was his? Because being that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had the ability to be Meicha, he had the ability to protest, to be Mekayim, the mitzvahs Esed Dairaisa of Heicheach Toicheach Es Amisecha, and he didn't, Mala Olaf, we consider it as if he himself was the one that did it. And from there, the Gemara digressed into this idea that if you have the ability to impress something upon somebody else and you don't do it, you could be punished for the sins that that person commits. On that note, the Gemara began its digression from its digression. Discuss the story of Reuven. The Pasuk says, Vayishkav Reuven es Vayelech Reuven Vayishkav es Bila, which the literal meaning would seem to suggest that Reuven was nichshol in the chet of Gilei Arayos, the idea of being mezana with Bila, who was the pelegish of his father. But Chazal said, Reuven chata, eino yalotayos. So from there, the Gemara is going to continue and talk about different stories in Tanakh, which at first glance would seem to suggest that there were some very, very great people that committed very, very grave sins. And the Gemara is going to continue and suggest that even though in the Pshuta Shel Mikra, it would seem that these people did terrible averes, but really, if you learn the Teresh Baal Peh, that's not really what happened. Reuven, Bnei Eli, Bnei Shmuel, David, Ushloimai, V'yoyach Sim. Zok the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yoinis, and Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said, in the name of Rabbi Yoinis, and Kalo Oimer, Bnei Eli, Chatu, Eni Elatoya. Anyone that suggests, and anyone that thinks that the Bnei Eli, the sons of Eli, sinned, Eni Elatoya. He's making a terrible mistake. So what's the high-level story of the Bnei Eli? So it's mentioned in Sefer Shmuel Aleph Perek Beis. The Pasuk says that Eli had two sons. One's name was Chofni, and the other one was Pinchas. And the Pasuk seems to depict these sons as if they were Rishayim. Ad kidei kach, the Pasuk says that when women would come and bring karbonos, because they were either Yoledes or Azava, the Bnei Eli would extort these women and force them into Gilei Arayos, into Znus, in order for them to agree to bring their karbonos. The Pasuk says that Hashem was very disappointed at Eli, very disappointed at what his sons did, so much so that Hashem said to Eli that his family would be wiped out, nobody would live to be Ma'irich Yomim, and terrible klolos would befall the family of Eli because of the terrible sins that the sons of Eli committed. And if you go through the psukim, which we will not do right now, but in Shmuel Aleph Perek Beis, it seems like the Bnei Eli did terrible, terrible aver, stating that Amar Rab Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rab Yoinisin, Kolayim Bnei Eli Chatu. Anyone that thinks that the Bnei Eli sinned, Eni Elatay, is making a terrible mistake. Well, how do you know that Shenemar? Because the Pasuk says, the Sham Shnei Bnei Eli, Chafni Upinchas Kehanim Lashem. It says that Eli had two sons, they were both Kehanim, one was Chafni, and the other one was Pinchas. Okay, Sabala Kirab, now Rabshmu Barachmedi in the name of Rabbi Yonis and held like Rab. Dama Rab said, Pinchas Leichata. That even though in the Psukim it's clear that the Bnei Eli sinned, but it was really only one of the two sons. It was Chafni that sinned, it wasn't Pinchas that sinned. Rabshmu Barachmedi in the name of Rabbi Yonis accepted that premise of Rav, that Pinchas didn't sin. But he took it a step further. Makish Chafni LePinchas. But he felt that in the Psukkim, it's also mashma, that whatever Pinchas did or didn't do, Chafni also did or didn't do. Meaning, Ma Pinchas Loichata, Av Chafni Loichata. Just like Pinchas didn't do an Avera, Chafni didn't do an Avera either. Says the Gemara Elamani Mekayim. How could you say that Chafni and Pinchas didn't do Averas? How could you say, Kolo Imr Bnei Eli Chatu Eni Alataya? The Pasuk says very clearly, I'll read the whole Pasuk. The Eli Zaki Ma'oid. Eli was very old. Vishama, and he heard Koilash Yasun Banav, everything that his sons did. L'chol Yisrael, specifically he heard Ve'isashe Yishkubunes HaNoshim Had Soivois Pesach HaYomoyed Vayoyimel Lemed. He told him, Mama Sasim Kadvar Ma'ele, I'm hearing such terrible things. The whole narrative, the whole story, Shmuel Aleph Perek Beis talks about the sin and the klal and the punishment, everything that the Bnei Eli did. So start from the beginning. What does it mean that they were Ashe Yishkubunes HaNoshim? So the Gemara says that Rosh Moman Achmeni said, Mitoich Shashiu Eskeneyem Shaloi Holchu Eitzel Baleyem Mal Alein Akosu Ke'ilu Shchavim. Meaning the Bnei Eli used to chepper with these women, but not literally in the sense of Gilui Arayas. But rather what they would tell them is that, I'm not so sure I'm going to bring your carbon, you're going to have to maybe give me meat. There was some level of extortion taking place, but it wasn't Gilui Arayas. So why does the Pasuk say that it was Gilui Arayas? Because being that they ended up causing the women to have to wait longer for them to bring their karbanos, which meant that it was going to take longer for them to be able to go home and be with their husbands. So they were somehow taking these women away from their husbands. Malaleh and akas of kilu shchavim, on some level that was loisinuf. They were taking these women away from their husbands. They were just making them wait too long. And as a result, that's why the pasuk says, Ashe yishkibun asanoshim, Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni said the name Rabbi Yonasan. No way, the pasuk doesn't mean literally. Says the Gemara Gufa, Amar Rav, Rav said, Pinchas loichata. Pinchas didn't sin. So just to be clear, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani said in the name of Rav Yonasan, Kalaimer b'nei Eli Chatu Eni Alatoya, meaning not Pinchas and not Chafni. Rav said Pinchas loichata. Only Pinchas didn't sin. Shema, the pasuk says, V'achia ben Achitov, Achia ichavoy ben Pinchas ben Eli Koyin Hashem noisei efoy. So the pasuk is talking about Achia, who was a Koyin gadol, and it traces his yichus. So what's his yichus brief? He was the son of Achitov, Achi Ichavoid, the son of Pinchas, the son of Eli, the Kohen Hashem. Says Rav, is it possible that Pinchas did such a terrible avera, and then years later the Torah would trace the yichus of the great tzaddik Achia to Pinchas? I mean, if Pinchas is such a big avera, he would have never been mentioned in that pasuk in the context of being the zeda of its tzaddiks. Like for Nemer, it's a pasuk in Malachi. Yachris Hashem l'ish, Hashem yaseno, erva oino me'ole Yaakov, umagish mincha l'Hashem tzvokos. A person that does, specifically Arayoi, so what's going to happen to him? Erva oino me'ole Yaakov, umagish mincha l'Hashem tzvokos. So Rav explained, im Yisrael, if he's a Yisrael, meaning he's not a koyin, lo yiloi erba chachomim. None of his descendants will be chachamim. None of his descendants will be talmidim. From koyin, if he's a koyin, he's not going to have a son that's going to be a koyin, let alone a koyin gadol. So if Achia is a grandson of Pinchas, and Pinchas merited then to have such a chashav enikol, there's no way he committed the sin of Arayas. Because someone who commits the sin of Arayas, yachres Hashem lo ish ashe yaseno, and he will not merit to have a magish mincha Hashem tzavakos. So said Rav that even though in the psukim Eli's sons seem to have sinned, it wasn't both of his sons. It was son Chafni, it wasn't his son Pinchas. Meaning, Elohav Shemam, you know, Pinchas Loichata. So Rav said, Elohav Ksiv, Asher Yishkuvun. Doesn't it say Yishkuvun? It sounds like they both were Nichshol in Arayis. It's a Lashon Rabim. Yishkuvain Ksiv. That's true. The Kri would seem to be that way, but the Ksiv is actually as if it was Belashon Yachid, meaning only one of the two sons. For Ksiv, the pasuk says, Albanoi ki loy toiva hashmua. He told his sons, he says, I'm hearing very not good things about you. Even though it's pronounced Banai, as if it was both of his sons, really Bini, it was only one of the sons. V'aksibah, the pasuk says, Mavirim, it sounds like they were causing people to do bad things. Again, Lashon Rabim, they, Rabbi Yeshua, Maviram Ksiv. If you look at all these words, we're missing Yuds and you're missing Vavs. Said Rav, there's a major diak here. The Ksiv in all these psukim is actually the Lashon Yachid because it wasn't both of his sons that did the Aveir. It was only one of his sons. Faith the Gemara. But again, Vaksiv, B'nei Blial. B'nei Blial would seem to suggest that they were both
Bali Avera, Mitoch Shahoyle, the Pinchas, the Machos, the Chofni, the Loy Micha, Malo, all of our Kosov, Kilu Chotan, this is the punchline. You want to know why the Pasik seems to suggest a little bit as if Pinchas himself was complicit, not because he did the Avera, but because this was his brother Chofni, and he could have protested against his brother Chofni, and he chose not to, and therefore Malo, all of our Kosov, Kilu Chotas, and now we're coming full circle. You want to know why we're talking about this right now? Because we mentioned Porosishov, Blazman and Azayu went out to Ritz Worship in Karnel, and Chazal say it really wasn't Rav Lozman Azariah's parah. It was his neighbor's parah. But he could have been Moicha. And because he wasn't Moicha, it's as if he did it. Here you have a scriptural source for this. That Rav held that Pinchas, who was the son of Eli, never sinned. It was only Chafni that did. Pinchas was in a position, however, to be Moicha. He didn't stop it from doing it. And Malu Olav HaKosav Kiluchata. So if Malu Olav HaKosav Kiluchata, so the Mishnah could do the same thing. And that's why you mentioned it with regards to Rav Lozman Azariah. So just to be clear, before we go weiter, so we had over here the idea that even though if you go through the Tereshav Iksav, again, Shmuel Ala Perik Beis, the Bnei Eli seemed to have done terrible Averis and they were punished very terribly for it, right? You know, the Gemara says Abaye V'Rabba both came from the family of Eli. Some have the Gersa Abaye V'Rabba. One lived 40 years, one lived 60 years, but it was a chiddush if a descendant of Eli's family would have Arichas Yomim, because they were cursed. They weren't supposed to have Arichas Yomim. Stating that in the Torah Shabbat Peh, it's not so poshut. Meaning, obviously, there was some Avera here. There had to be, because the Pasuk talks about Oinshin. But not so Pasha. In fact, the Machloikis Amirayim, according to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, in the name of Rabbi Yoinasin, Kala Oimer B'nei Eli Chatu Eni Alataya, meaning, not Pinchas, not Chafni, none of Eli's sons sinned. According to Rav, Pinchas Loi Chata, Chafni did do the Avera. How do you know that Pinchas didn't do an Avera? Rav said, because I see that Achiyah's Yichus is traced to Pinchas. There's no way Pinchas could have been a Rasha, and the Torah would give him this covet that he has an Enochal Achiyah. How did Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, know that both sons didn't sin? Because he had a hekesh between the two sons. So once you establish Rav's Hanacha, which he established, that Pinchas didn't sin, if Pinchas didn't sin, it means Chafni didn't either sin, because he had a hekesh between the two sons. Aye, then why does the Torah make it sound like? So that's this idea of Hoya loy lepinchas limchais v'lechafni v'loy micha samalo l'vakosav kiluchat. Zokting more. Amr Ashur Anachmeni. Amr Rabbi Yonasan. So we had kolayim Ruven chata eni alataya. We had kolayim b'nei Eli chatu eni alataya. And now we have the third kolayim b'nei Shmuel chatu. Anyone that says the sons of Shmuel sin eni alataya. Shemem the pasuk says vayhikash zokin Shmuel v'lehochu bana bedracha. Now if you read that pasuk, it sounds like they sin, right? Shmuel got older and his sons didn't follow in his way. Stating that, said again Rabbi Shmuel Anachmeni in the name of Rabbi Yonasan. Sin, you have to be medayik the pasuk. It doesn't say that they sinned. It just says v'loy holchu bedrachav, meaning they weren't Shmuel Hanavi. Moshe v'Aharon b'chayhanav v'Shmuel b'kariyah shemoy. Shmuel was shakel to Moshe v'Aharon. He was on a very, very high madrega. They weren't on his madrega, meaning bedrachav who v'loy holchu. But michtol nami v'loy chatu. But it doesn't mean that they sinned. Elamayni mekayim. But the Gemara says, I hear that pasuk itself. You can tweak that way. But there's another pasuk. It says vayitu acharei habotza, and the end of the pasuk is vayikru shoychad. But they were judges, and they were corrupt in their judgment. They took shoychad, they violated the irises. So Gemara says, you know what that means? Also, it doesn't mean literally they took shoychad, but rather means that they didn't have the same hanhaga of nefnim eshur sadin that their father did. Because Shmuel HaTzadik, he was very, very machmer when it came to how careful he was. What he would do is he would go from city to city, as the pasuk says, v'holach midei shana b'shana, v'sova beisel, v'hagilgol, v'hamitzvah, v'shafat es Yisrael. He didn't wait for people to come to him. He would make house calls. He would literally go from city to city, and he would go, and he would try to judge people. He wasn't looking to have any personal benefit from what was going on. That's the punchline of the Gemara. V'him lo yasukim, elo yashvu b'areim. They stayed at home. The reason was, k'dei laharbo yischar l'chazoneim u'lisayfreim. So there's different pshatim in the Rishonim what this means. One pshat is, they wanted to stay home, because if they were going to become a full-time shofet, it would come at the expense of their 9-to-5 job. So they wanted to be able to make money. They wanted to turn this into an industry. They stayed home. They had parnasa from it. They didn't want to go out of the way like Shmuel did. Either way, being that they weren't like Shmuel, the pasuk says, "Vayikash hezokin Shmuel v'leihochu bana bedrachav." And even the pasuk says, "Vayitu achrei habatza, vayikhu shoychad, vayatu mishpat." Doesn't mean it literally. It just means that they weren't noyeg on the same level as their father was. But the Gemara says, really, kitanoi, this machlik is tanam. That's what the pasuk says. Rameir says, chelkom sho'alu b'fiyim. What it means is, they were levi'im, and they would go over to people, and they would demand, they would say, I want you to give me your ma'aserishin. Now, being that they were such chashuv people, so, you know, people felt compelled to listen, and as a result, they were getting things that, you know, maybe they wouldn't have necessarily gotten. Rabbi Yehuda says, Melai hitilu al balei batim. What they used to do is, they would do favors to balabatim, because they knew they were judges. Eventually, balabatim would come to them and have to stand mishpat. So like this, they had a little in with all the, they did enough favors to enough people, so it ended up that all their judgment turned out being corrupt. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says, "Kupi yaseir shal ma'aser not lubazor." When they used to go take ma'aserishin, they took a little more than they had to get. Rabbi Yosi says, "Matonos not lubazor." When they came to take the zroya lechayayim in the keva, it's then that they used to take a little bit more. The point is this: the point is that it's everyone agrees, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yosi, that they didn't act 100% the way they were supposed to act. So what's the ketanoi? What's the machlokes tanam? Machlokes tanam is regarding the pasuk that says vayitu acharei habatza, which sounds like they were corrupt. Vayikhu shoychad, vayatu mishpat. Is that meant to be taken literally, or is that not meant to be taken literally? According to Rabbi Yehuda, melayi tibu abalibatim, they used to do favors for people, which ended up turning into shoychad, and like this, they ended up being corrupt. So there actually was an element of corruption that took place. According to the other tanam, Ramei, Rabbi Kiv, Rabbi Yosi, even though what they did wasn't 100% right, but at the same time, it wasn't corruption in the literal sense. Hence, we have over here a machloikis tanam. Just one ha'ara before we go to the next part of the Gemara, which is one of the most famous Gemaras in Shas. And that is, we all know the story that Shaul HaMelech was debating whether or not he should go wage a war against the Plishtim. And he went to the Urim V'Tumim, and he started going around and lobbying to figure out what the right thing for him to do was, and he couldn't get a straight answer. And he decided that he had no choice but to go to his Rebbe, to go to his mentor. And Shaul HaMelech's mentor was Shmuel HaNavi. So he decided he has to go to Shmuel HaNavi. The problem is he had no way of contacting him because Shmuel HaNavi wasn't alive anymore. So he heard about a woman, she was a Balas Oiv, and he went to this Balas Oiv. How he was allowed to do this is a whole discussion, but he goes to this woman that's a Balas Oiv, and he tells the Balas Oiv, "I need you to bring the spirit of Shmuel down because I need to speak to Shmuel." Pasuk says that the Baal HaSoif goes and brings the spirit of Shmuel. Shmuel hears that he's being summoned. He got very, very scared. He didn't know where he was going. He comes and he sees Shaul, and Shaul looks at Shmuel and he says, you don't look good. Is everything okay? So he starts telling Shaul, "You don't realize you scared me." He said, "Why'd I scare you?" He said, "Because I thought I was going to have to give Din V'cheshbon now. I thought they were calling me in for judgment and I was afraid, I was scared, and you shouldn't have scared me." Either way, he tells him what to do and what not to do, and Shaul HaMelech ends up going into war. He kills himself. He's a ma'abed atzmei ladas, goes down as a sif katan in Shulchan Aruch, that even though a person's not allowed to be ma'abed atzmei ladas, but there's always the exception of Shaul HaMelech, v'advarim atikin, ve'ein kam mekoymoy. But it's Yudua Remeir Simcha Meshech Chochma asked the obvious question on this. Why did Shmuel HaNavi think that he was about to be judged? Shmuel HaNavi had passed away a while earlier. So any din v'cheshbon that Shmuel HaNavi had to give after he died, l'chindret in Svansik, had taken place already. This wasn't Rosh Hashanah, this wasn't Yom Kippur. Why did Shmuel HaNavi think that he was being judged? Shmuel HaNavi was scared. He was scared. The Gemara says, because of this fear that Shmuel HaNavi had, as if he was, why did he think he was going to be judged? You don't just judge people randomly and recklessly. Why did Shmuel HaNavi think the reason he was being called is because he had to give din v'cheshbon? So Rav Meir Simcha says, because it's true that Shmuel HaNavi had been judged already after he passed away. But at the same time, there's a concept that even after a person dies, his children, maybe Talmidim, different people that he did chesed with, different people that he was mashpia on, if his hashpah, if his influence survives his own death, so there's a concept that he can continue steiging, and it can work for his benefit, and chalila, it can work for the other way as well. Shmuel HaNavi knew, said Rav Meir Simcha, that his sons didn't go in his way. It's a pasuk. Vayehi kizokin Shmuel v'loy holchu banav bidrachav. And Shmuel was worried, and he thought that maybe the reason they were calling him for din v'cheshbon wasn't something for he did. He already was judged for what he did, but maybe it had something to do with his family. Maybe it had something to do with his children. And that's why he said, "Lo mehir gastani, why did you scare me? Because I thought this was going to be..." What do you mean? He was judged already. Why did Shmuel think he was being judged? The Teretz is, said Remei Simcha, it was for his sons. That's what he was afraid of. He was afraid that maybe some of the hashpa that he left over in this world, maybe this was related to, either way, Dvarim Neflam for Remei Simcha. So the next Gemara, which again is one of the most famous Gemaras in Shas, very much requires an introduction. So this next Gemara is going to tell the story of David and Bathsheba and Uriah Hachiti. The Gemara talks about it right here in Shabbos Daf Nun Vav. The Gemara talks about it at length
In Perek Chelik, Masechtas Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Zayin. The Gemara talks about it in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, Daf Dal Amid Beis. The Gemara talks about it in Masechtas Yuma, Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis. This is something that comes up in many Gemaras in Shas, in Svarim Akdoshim, but really, in order to appreciate the next 8 or so lines of Gemara, we have to take a few steps back and reacquaint ourselves with one of the most famous stories in Tanakh, and that is the story with David, Bathsheba, and Uriah HaChiti. So the story begins in Sefer Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud, Aleph, Pasuk Beis. Pasuk says, Vayila Esa Erev, it was night. Vayokum David me'al mishkovi. David was having a hard time sleeping, so he gets up, Vayishalich al gag Beis HaMelech, and he was walking on the roof of his palace. Vayar Isha Reichetzes Me'al Agag, and as he's walking on the gag, he saw a woman that was bathing. V'ha Isha Toivas Mara Mo'od. The pasuk says, Vayishlach David, Vayidrish Lo Isha. David sent his chevra, he said, I want you to go bring this woman. Vayomer, and they told her, he says, this woman's a married woman. Haloi Zois Bathsheba, Bas Eliyam, Eshes Uriah HaChiti. Her name is Bathsheba, and she's the wife of Uriah HaChiti. Vayishlach David Malachim. So David sent his shluchim, and Vayikocher, he says, I want her to come anyway. And the pasuk says, Vatovay Elof, Vayishkav Im. She was in a nida, and she ended up going home. Says the pasuk, "Vatarho isha." The woman became pregnant from that union. Vatishlach, vatagi leDavid, and she sent a message to David. She had no access to David HaMelech, but she sent a message to the king. Vatoy mahara anoichi, I'm expecting a child. Vayishlach David al Yoyav. So David HaMelech sent for his chief of staff Yoyav. He said, Shlach ilayas Uriah HaChiti. I want you to send Uriah HaChiti. And I need him to come home. Now, where was Uriah HaChiti at the time? The Yidden were middle fighting a war. And Uriah HaChiti was fighting. So he wasn't home. So David HaMelech says, I need you to immediately send Uriah HaChiti. The pasuk says, Vayavai Uriah Elof. So Uriah came. Vayishal David l'shloim Yoav, u'l'shloim Ma'av, v'l'shloim l'melchama. And David starts making small talk. He has a conversation with Uriah. Vayayim David Uriah. And then David, he's the king, tells Uriah, Reid lebeischa, I want you to go home. Urechasla lech, I want you to bathe. Vayetze Uriah mebeis hamelech. So Uriah leaves his house. I mean, the king told him that this is what he has to do. Vateitze yachra masas hamelech. And there were people following him. The pasuk says, but then Uriah realizes there's no way he can go home. Vayishkav Uriah pesach beis hamelech. Uriah, in dramatic fashion, he lies down at the entranceway of the castle. El eis kol abdei adonai v'layarad beis, I'm not going home. Vaygidu leDavid leimer. So they came back and they told David, layarad Uriah beisai. Uriah doesn't want to go home. So David told Uriah, I don't understand, what's the big deal? You should go home. You have a wife. Why wouldn't you go home? So Uriah tells David, he said, the Aroin, which used to escort the Yidden out into battle, and all of Klai Yisrael were fighting a war. My master Yoav, he's the general. Everybody's out on the field. They're all risking their lives right now to save the Jewish people. Is this what I should do? It's inappropriate. He said, I swear. On the life of the king, I will not go home. Pasuk says, David told Uriah, you know, why don't you think it over? Why don't you stay here for a day or 2 days, and then we'll figure it out. Uriah remained in Yerushalayim that day, and the next day, the pasuk says, David, and David called him back into his palace. He even made him drunk. He tried to do anything he can do to try to get Uriah HaChiti to go home. But Uriah HaChiti refused to go home. Now, why did David HaMelech want Uriah to go home so badly? The reason is because David HaMelech had seemingly just done an Avera together with Bathsheba. Bathsheba was going to have a child. The problem is Bathsheba's husband was at war. So people were going to be suspicious and people were going to start asking questions and investigating, how's it possible that Bathsheba, a married woman, had a child if her husband is so far away? And David was afraid that this was all going to trace itself back to him and he would get caught for what he did. So what he felt the right thing to do was to have Uriah HaChiti come home, be with Bathsheba for a short while, like this, when later she ends up having a child, it'll end up being Uriah's child. Like this, nobody will be suspicious. There's nothing to worry about. The problem is, Uriah refused to go home. And David couldn't force Uriah to walk into his house. So the pasuk says, David HaMelech had no choice, but he had to work on plan B. So what he does is, he sends for Yoav, and he tells Yoav that I'm sending Uriah back to war, and this is what I want you to do. He says, I want you to make sure that Uriah goes to the front lines. I want him to be at the front lines, and he has to go and you make sure that Uriah dies in battle. That was the plan B. Because if Uriah ends up dying in battle, so like this, people won't ask questions anymore, because now Bathsheba's not an Eishes Ish. David will have an opportunity to marry Bathsheba. If he marries Bathsheba, she has a child. It could be David's child. It's like this, you have nothing to worry about. The pasuk goes on and says that Maisa Shahaya, Kachaya, Uriah was sent to the front lines, and Uriah Hachiti ends up dying. The pasuk says as follows. The pasuk says that right after this all happened, Hashem sent the Navi, Nasan, to go to David HaMelech. It says, Vayishlach Hashem es Nasan al David. Vayove Yelov, and he comes to him. So David HaMelech is visited by the Navi Nasan. Vayoyim Eloi. And Nasan sits down with David, and he says, I'd like to chat. And before, I want to tell you a story. He says, Shnei Anashim, there were two people, Hayibir Achas, that lived in one city. Echad Asher, the Echad Rosh. One was wealthy, and the other one was an Araman. La Asher Hayitzoinu Bakar Harbe Ma'od. The Asher had a portfolio of cattle. He had 12,000 Egle Bakar every year for Maisa Behema. V'lu Rosh Ein Kail. And the Araman had nothing. Ki Im Kivsa Achas Ketan. He had one Shepsala, Asher Kona, that he bought. Vayichayeho. Vatigdal Imay V'imbon of Yachtav. And he loved it so much. This Kivsa was part of the family. Mi Pitoi Toichal. He would literally take from his bread and he would feed this Kivsa. Umi Kaisai Tishta. Give him a little bit to drink from his cup. Uvechekai Tishka. Literally, this kifsa meant so much to this poor person. It was like a daughter. And what happened was, a person came, he was visiting through the town, and he goes to the usher, and he asked the usher, if I can please come in, maybe you can, I'm starving, maybe you can give me some food. So Nasan tells him, so this usher, this gvir, invited this araman into his house, this guest that's passing through town, and he said, yeah, sure, I'm going to serve you. But rather than serve him from his own sign and from his own buck, he said, 1 minute, I'm going to get you something to eat. He knocks on his neighbor's door, who's an araman, and he says, you know that kifsa achas that you have, that you love so much, that you're literally raising as if it's your daughter? I want you to please give me that sheep. I want to serve it to this guest that just came into his house. He turns to David HaMelech, does Nasan, and he says, David, what's your takeaway? What do you make of this story? What do you think of this gevir? David got upset. He was visibly angry. He says, I can't believe what a person did this. I can't believe this is a story. So he tells him, not just that, Chai Hashem, if it was up to me, I'm the king. He ben mavis, so he says, I would kill him. I would make him pay 4 times. Kinega, that one kifsa that he took. So Nasan turns to David and he says, David, this story never happened. This story is a mashal. He said, now I'm going to tell you the Nimshol. This is very sharp. He said, Ato ha'ish, you're the Gvir. In fact, I have a message. Here's the Nevuah. Koy Amar Hashem, Elikei Yisrael. Anoichi mishachticha l'melech ha'Yisrael. I made you the king on Klal Yisrael. V'anoichi hitzalticha miyad Shol. I saved you from Shol. Ve'et nolocha es beis adoinech. I gave you Shol's house. Ve'es neshei adoinech b'chekach. I gave you his wives. Ve'et nolocha es beis Yisrael v'Yehuda. Ve'imat v'yisif alocha kehena v'kehena. Look at what I gave you. You're an unbelievable Gvir. You have this incredible portfolio of cattle. Why did you go ahead and you bozisa? We're talking about David HaMelech. He says, you know what you did? You did two things. You killed Uriah Hachiti. You put him on the front lines. You set him up for your own personal interest. You had Uriah Hachiti killed. How'd you do that? You took his wife. And you had him dead. He says, how could you have done that? He says, Uriah, he has his wife, Bathsheba. Look at you. You're living, you have everything in the world. You didn't forget him, one Bathsheba. You had to take that from him. You had to take away the one Shepsalah. And then he goes ahead and he gives a klola to David HaMelech. Either way, the pasuk says that when David HaMelech heard what Nasan told him, he couldn't believe it. Vayomer David al Nasan. Epic words, Chatasi Lashem. He says, I sinned. I realized I made a terrible mistake. I can't believe I did it. But then Nasan immediately told David, don't worry about it. Gam Hashem hever chatascha loy tamus. You're not going to die. And then David HaMelech does tshuva. And incidentally, the pasuk says that child that Bathsheba became pregnant with ended up dying. And David and Bathsheba, they mourned the child. But shortly afterwards, Bathsheba had another child that child, again, was now through her husband, David HaMelech, and that child was none other than the great Shloimeh HaMelech. Either way, this is the Torah Shebiksav, is a psukim in Nach, in Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Beis, that talk about the story of David and Bathsheba. At first glance, it's impossible to walk away from this Torah Shebiksav not thinking that David HaMelech was nichshal in two of the greatest averus that a person could be nichshal in. In fact, two of the gimel averus chamuros. Number one, Gili Arayas, and Eishes Ish, Bathsheba. And number two, Shvichas Domen, Uriah Chiti, and the whole cover-up. And there's so much about this story that's Eino Yomer Elo Dershuni, stating that you have to learn the Teresh Baal Peh. Teresh HaBiksav, without the Teresh Baal Peh, is a Ahal B'maisa. So you need the Teresh Baal Peh. Zok to Gemara. Amar Rav Shmuel Barachimini, Amar Rav Yoinesan, Kaloyme David Chato. Anyone that thinks that David HaMelech sinned, meaning he thinks he was over in Gili Arayas with Bathsheba, and he thinks that he was over in Shvichas Domen with Uriah Chiti, he's making a terrible mistake. How do I know that Shinema? Because the pasuk says, "Vayehi David l'chol drachav maskil." VaHashem imoy. Hakadosh Baruch Hu was with David. So he said, "Efshechet bolu yada yeshchini imoy." Is it possible for a person to do these averis and him merit this pasuk of shchina imoy? Incidentally, that pasuk is mentioned before the story of David and Bathsheba. Tzorich beer. But either way, Elo, Mani, Mekaye, Maduwa, Bazi, Sesvar, Hashem, Lassis, Harabe, Enof. So what did Nasan Anavi mean when he told David those very sharp words, Maduwa, Bazi, Sesvar, Hashem, Lassis, Harab, Shebike, Shlassis, Veloyasa. He wanted to do the Avera, but he never ended up doing the Avera. Zokti Gemar Amar Rav. Rav said, Rebbe, to Asimi David, Rebbe, who was a descendant of David HaMelech. In fact, all the Nasiyan and all the members of the Reish Kalusa were descendants of David HaMelech. It's Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Hei HaMenalech. So Rebbe, that was a descendant of David HaMelech, Mahapech V'Doresh B'Schusi De David. He went out of his way, he was Mahapech. He tried to do whatever he can to be Melamed Zchus on David HaMelech. Meaning, he said like this. Nasan told David, Rebbe Yoyim, you know what Rebbe said? He made a dig in the pasuk. Every time it says the word Ra in the Torah, Ksiv Vayas Hara. It always says Vayas. If it can't, Ksiv, it doesn't say Vayas, rather it says Lasos. We mean Lasos. He only wanted to do something wrong, but he never ended up doing anything wrong. What does it mean? Means he wanted to do something wrong, but he didn't do anything wrong. So this is all going to become clear. What about Uriah Chiti? What, he wanted to kill Uriah Chiti? Sounds like he killed Uriah Chiti. Doesn't sound like he wanted to. No, the taina on him was that what he should have done was he should have judged him by Sanhedrin. And he didn't, and that's why he was guilty. But he wasn't guilty for actually killing Uriah HaChiti. And the reason is because Uriah HaChiti was Chayav Misa. We'll see why in a second. Rebbe continued, and he said, what Nasan Anavi mean when he told David, you took Uriah HaChiti's wife? He meant to say, Lekuchin Yeshlecha, but it was okay in a way that you took her because he had a right to take her. What does this all mean? Again, this is all unclear. The Amr Rav Shmuel Barachmin Amr Rabbi Yoinison Kol Yoitzel Mechamis Beis David Get Priestess Kaisof Liyadai any person before he used to go to war, specifically the wars of Beis David, he would give a get to his wife. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Beis Aseres Charitzei Hacholav Ha'ele Tavi Dasara Aleph Vesachecha Tivkoi L'Shalom Vesarubasam Tikach. The context over there is Yishai. David HaMelech's father sent David to the front lines and he told him, gave him a message, you should bring this and you should bring back that. What should you bring back? Arubasan tikach. May arubasan sasmiloshan oreif. Tony Rav Yosef Dvarim Hamu'uravin Beinola Veino was referring to a get because there was a concept of a person would give a get to his wife before he would go out to war. Again, we'll explain this in a minute. And what did Nasan Navi mean when he told David that you killed Uriah HaChiti? What he meant to say was, Af Uriah HaChiti iato nenesh olav. Meaning in that pasuk, when Nasan gives Teichacha to David for killing Uriah, he throws in, he was killed by Amoy. Amin is punked who he was fighting against. But why do you have to emphasize that? Because he was trying to be Malam Eschus. He was trying to tell him that even though you killed Uriah, but you had a right to kill him. Because just like you have a right to fight against Amin, so too you have a right to do this as well. My time, what's the reason for that? So he said, Meir ben Malchus, because he was a Meir ben Malchus. First of all, the whole story seems like he was Meir ben Malchus. David HaMelech said, go home. He said, I'm not going home. He swears in the name of the king. He lies down in front of the king's palace. See, he was Meir ben Malchus, but even more specifically, he said, "Va'adoni Yoyov, va'avdei Adoni al pnei asad ha'chayim." Talking to David, he refers to Yoyov as Adoni Yoyov, and it's for that he was chayev misa. Either way, one last gemara on my rav. Kimeinus be David. If you mind in the story of David, loy meshkachas be bar medo Uriah. The only avera you're going to find that he really did was Uriah. Techsiv rak bedvar Uriah hachiti. That's the one avera that he did. But the story of Bathsheba and some of the other stories that you find in Nach, they're really not sins as it relates to David HaMelech. So again, we went through the Teresh of Iksav, and now we very briefly went through the Teresh of Apeh. In the Teresh of Iksav, it would seem that David HaMelech was guilty, number one, for Gili Arayas, Eshesis Bathsheba, and number two, Shvichas Damim, with Uriah Achiti, stating that Rav Shmuel Ben Achmedi said in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, Chaloimer David Chata, Ine Yelatoya. Kalaimer Ruven Chata, Ine Yelatoya. Kalaimer Bnei Eli Chata, Ine Yelatoya. Kalaimer Bnei Shmuel Chata, Ine Yelatoya. Kalaimer David Chata, Ine Yelatoya. Rebbe did the same thing. Rav, in fact, said, Rebbe, Da'asi Midavid, Mahapech V'Dorish B'Schusei D'David. The point is, even though it seems at first glance that David HaMelech committed terrible averes, he really didn't commit such terrible averes. Now, how do you read the Psukim then? So how do you read the Psukim? So what emerges from the Gemara is as follows. That there's one piece of information that we're missing. There's one piece of information that the Pasuk never shared with us. And that is, Kol Yoytzel Melchemes Beis David, Koisiv Geit Krisos Le'eshtoi. The minig was that before a man would go out to fight a war, he would give his wife a get. And the reason he would give his wife a get was twofold. Number one, what if he never comes back? And she's going to be, Oisha Shahalach Bailul Medina Sayam. She could be an Aguna. After every war, the Rabbanim always had a Paskin Aguna Shailas. And this was always a very big deal in Jewish history. So to prevent Aguna issues, you give a get. If you give a get like this, if he doesn't come home, you have nothing to worry about. Additionally, even if the woman would find out that her husband died in war, once upon a time, they used to do yibum. It would mean that she would have to marry her husband's brother. What if they didn't want to set up where there was going to be yibum? Or what if she would need chalitza? It'd be difficult to get chalitza. So there were factors of aguna, factors of yibum, factors of chalitza. And to circumvent all those issues, what they did was they took upon themselves a custom that kolay yoytze l'melchemes beis David koisev get krisus le'ishtoi. The Gemara mentions this in Ksubas Daf Tes, one of the most famous dafin in Chas, in the sugya of Pesach Pesuach. The point is, Uriah Achiti was fighting a war. He wasn't just fighting any war; he was fighting melchemes beis David. If he was fighting melchemes beis David, then it was koisev get krisus le'ishtoi. That means he gave a wife. He gave a get to Bathsheba. See, he gave her a get. If he gave her a get, then l'chayra, she's not a married woman anyways. So if she's not a married woman anyways, he was never mezana with an eishes ish. It sounds like he was mezana with an eishes ish, but she was never an eishes ish. She was a divorced woman. So if she was a divorced woman, she wasn't an eishes ish. So you don't have the chet of eishes ish, the chet of Gili Arayos, as it seemed to suggest from the Pasha Pshan and the Pasha. What about Uriah Achiti? How was he able to call Uriah? So says the Gemara, at the time that Uriah had come back to David, he was going back and forth with David, Adoni Yoyav. So at that point, he was already a Meir B'Malchus. Oh, now he's a Meir B'Malchus. It was Chayim Misa. Yes, and it was a Taina on him. You know what the Taina was? That should have killed him with a Sanhedrin. There's a way that you kill people. You don't just kill people randomly. And Achinami said there was a little bit of a Taina on him. But at the end of the day, it was Chayim Misa. I mean that it was Chayim Misa. So it's for that reason, he wasn't considered to have been over the Avera of Shvichas Dam. Incidentally, not for today, but there's a little bit of a lumdus that's tucked away in this Gemara. When the Gemara says, Kol ha-yoytzel l'mechemes beis David, koisev get krisos l'ishtoi. What does that mean? That means they gave a get? That means they gave a get? That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. And Rabbeinu Tam says it has to be, because that's certainly what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that she wasn't an Eishes Ish. So because she wasn't an Eishes Ish, that's why he didn't have the chet of Gilui Arayas. But if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says not that way. Get krisus al tnai. It was a get that was given on condition. She'im yomos, that if he's going to die, tehe megureshes me'achshav. So like this, the get will be chal mafreit. Freit Rabbeinu Tam. If that's the case, if that's what it means, then what did David Fadin? Meaning, what did the Gemara accomplish? So the Gemara says, you want to know it wasn't Avera of Gilui Arayos because there was a get. What do you mean? The whole get was given ala Tanai. Now what happens if Uriah wasn't going to die? What happens if the Tanai wouldn't have been fulfilled? She would have been an Eishes Ish. So it means that the time that David was with Bathsheba, she was at the very least a Safek Eishes Ish. Okay, so you downgraded it. You downgraded it from a Vaday Eishes Ish to a Safek Eishes Ish. But Safek Eishes Ish is also very chomer. It's extremely chomer. So if it's extremely chomer, how do you have a right to say that because Bathsheba was a Safek Eishes Ish, so Koloimer, David Chata, Eni Elatoya, so that's Rabbeinu Tam's big kasha on Rashi for another day. We'll get back to this at the end of the daf, but we have a little bit more Gemara to learn. So the last thing we saw was Rav said that Kima'ainas Bebe David, if you go through the story of David HaMelech, the only Averu that he is guilty of is the Averu of Uriah Hachiti. So his role in the death of Uriah Hachiti, that's something that David HaMelech sinned in. Says the Gemara, Abaye Keshisho, Rami de Rav de Rav. He asked the Sirin Rav. What was the Sirin? Me, I'm a Rav Hachi. Did Rav really say that the only Avera of David HaMelech ever was Uriah Hachiti? I'm a Rav. Rav said, Kibel David Lashon Hara. That Rav said that David HaMelech was Mekabel Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is a very big Avera. So if Lashon Hara is a very big Avera, so you see that he did do another Avera. The Gemara says, it's such a good question, Kasha. Not Yufta, but Kasha. Zog to Gemara. What's the story of David HaMelech being Mekabel Lashon Hara? Gufa. Rav Amar Kibel David Lashon Hara. Rav said that David was Mekabel Lashon Hara. The Pasuk says, Vayomele HaMelech Eifayhu. So the context over there is David HaMelech becomes king. And what David HaMelech wanted to do was promote all the family members of Shaul HaMelech, who was the previous king, and he wanted to give them positions of prominence. Now, Shaul HaMelech had a son, whose name was Yohanesan, who was David's best friend. Chazal say, Kahavas David vi Yohanesan. Yohanesan had a son, Mephibosheth. And David called for Mephibosheth because he wanted to give him chashivos. So he goes to Tziva. Tziva, who was an eved of Yohanesan, so he knew the family of Shaul HaMelech very, very well. He also knew David. So David goes to Tziva and he tells Tziva, I want you to please call... So Tziva tells David, he's in the house of Machir ben Amiel, but below Dover. What he meant to say was, he says, below Dover, he doesn't know anything. He says, no, he's not a chashiv person. He's not the kind of person you want to give any chashivas to. But the pasuk says, Vayishlach HaMelech, Vayikocheyo mi beis Machir ben Amiel, meloy Dover. The pasuk says that when Mephibosheth came and David HaMelech met Mephibosheth, he saw that he wasn't a Beloy Davar, but rather he was a Meloy Davar. He was full with Torah. He was actually very, very chashiv. Either way, says the Gemara like this. We're going to get to the punchline of where the Lashon Hara was. Mechti. Chazi de Shakaruhu. David HaMelech saw now firsthand from that Tziva was a liar. Because Tziva said that Mephibosheth is not somebody that you want to reckon with at all. Turned out Mephibosheth was the great Mephibosheth. He was a big Talmud Chacham. So says the Gemara, if David HaMelech saw firsthand that Tziva was a Shakrin, so ki hader al shini lavei, my time o kibla minei. Why is it that the next time, as we'll see in a moment, that Tziva said Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth, why was David HaMelech so quick to accept the Lashon Hara? So what was the second time? The pasuk says, Vayomer HaMelech, Ayei ben Adinecha. So the context over there is David HaMelech is running away from Avshalom's son. Avshalom was David HaMelech's son. Avshalom wanted to kill David. Mizmer with David, Bevarchav, and Avshalom Benoi. And he's hiding. First he was hiding from Shaul. Now he's hiding from Avshalom. Avshalom wants to kill him. And he had Chevra that were escorting him. Tziva was with him. But Mephibosheth wasn't there. So David HaMelech turns to Tziva and he says, Aye ben Adinecha, who is the son of your master? Tziva's master was Yohanesan. He says, where's his son? Where's Mephibosheth? How come he's not with me? Why isn't he escorting me? So Tziva tells the Melech, Hine Yoyshe bi Yerushalayim. He's in Yerushalayim. The end of the pasuk is Kiyomar, because he said, Hayoyim Yoshivalu Beis Yisrael as Mamlachas Avi. He's very excited about what's going on. You know what he's hoping? He's hoping you and Avishalom get into a fight and you kill each other and you know who's going to end up being the king? He's going to be the king. At the end of the day, his Zayda was Shalom Melech. He wants the kingdom back. So Mephibosheth, he's vying for this. You know why he's not here? Because he doesn't support you anymore. He's very happy about what's going on. So this is what Tziva tells David HaMelech. This is Lashon Hara 101. Right? He completely threw Mephibosheth under the bus. So the Gemara says, how do you know that David HaMelech was Mekabel? This is all Rav talking. Because the pasuk says, the Melech told Tziva, David literally listened to what Tziva said. He was Mekabel. He said, listen, Mephibosheth, he has his mansion and his fields and everything. Take everything. He thanks David very politely. I appreciate it so much. Thank you so much. So what do you see from here? You see that David was Mekabel the Lashon Hara. So what's the kasha? Who said this? Rav said this. So Rav just said that David was Mekabel Lashon Hara. That was Abba Kishisha's kasha. Rav said, the only Aveira that David HaMelech did was Uriah. Here Rav himself said that David HaMelech was Mekabel Lashon Hara. That's the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara didn't have a teretz. The Gemara said Kasha, but Shmuel Omar, the Gemara said Shmuel argued with Rav. Shmuel believed that Rav was never Mekabel the Slush, that David was never Mekabel the Slush and Hara. So again, what was the Lashon Hara?
David's running away from Avshalom. He wants to know where Mephibosheth is. He's looking for his chevra. He says, how come Mephibosheth is not with me? So Tziva says, because he doesn't support you. He's hoping that Avshalom kills you. He doesn't want this to work out well. He wants to be king. He always thought Zayda was the melech. He thought he would be the melech one day. And as a result, that's why he's running away from you. And it seems that David was mekabelet. This was Lashon Hara, and he was mekabelet. By the way, the reason it was Lashon Hara is because it wasn't even true. It's not clear anyways that it was true. But the point is that he was mekabelet. And how do you know that? Because he gave Mephibosheth everything he gave Tziva everything that was supposed to go to Mephibosheth. But Shmuel has a different version, slightly different version of how this went down. He said, like, really, David was never mekabelet Lashon Hara. Dvarim hanikarim chazaveh. But rather, the reason he went and he gave everything to Tziva was because he himself was starting to get suspicious from Mephibosheth. Where was he getting suspicious? It's really from the end of the story. Because the pasuk says that after David HaMelech defeated Avshalom, he comes back to Yerushalayim. The pasuk says, Mephibosheth ben Shaul yar l'kreis HaMelech. Mephibosheth came to greet him. And when David HaMelech looked at him, he saw that he looked very unkempt. He didn't wash his feet, as in pun of Yadav Araglav. He didn't trim his mustache. He hadn't washed his clothing. Limin Hayoim, I'm reading the end of the pasuk. Leches Hamelech Adayim Hashabbat B'Shalim. Literally, from the day that David HaMelech ran away, he started acting ba'avelos. Fixiv. And the pasuk says, Vayiki va Yerushalayim l'kres HaMelech. Vayim l'HaMelech. So David asked him, Lama lo halachti mi b'Shalim? How come you didn't come with me when I went out into Golos? Vayim, he told him, Adayini HaMelech, Avdi Rimani. He's telling him a whole story. He said, I'll tell you the truth. I had a ride. The ride left without me. I had no way of getting there. Ech B'Shal Yachamar. I told my slave, please have the donkey waiting for me. You know I don't walk well. I'm telling you, this is all one big misunderstanding. He said, but at the same time, you're the king. I'm at your mercy. Do whatever you want. So the king says, I don't have to hear from you anymore. Amarti, this is what I said. Meaning, originally it was supposed to be yours. I gave it to Tziva, but you know what? Instead, you should split the field. Told the melech, I think you should give him everything. I don't think I deserve anything. And the reason I don't deserve anything is because at the end of the day, I didn't go with you. Tziva went with you. So Mephibosheth says, I don't think I deserve anything. So Mephibosheth told David, this is Chazal's understanding of what he meant to say. I kept on waiting for you. And this is my response. You know what? But here's the punchline. I'm not upset at you. I'm upset at the one that brought you back safely. And this is where Mephibosheth slipped a little bit. He showed his true colors. Meaning, he sounded like he was being very sincere. He came, he was in mourning. It looks like he really supported David HaMelech. He missed his ride, the chamar. He couldn't make it. He doesn't even want anything. He doesn't deserve it. But then it came out. He said, Lo yolecho yesh li taroimis, ela misha v'yacha b'sholim. Now, taroimis on the ebish to kavi yochel. Aha. The point that Shmuel says that David saw in Mephibosheth that something was a little bit off, and that's the reason that he gave the field to Tziva. Now, there's just a poshut pshat issue with Shmuel's pshat. Because if you follow the story, David gave Tziva Mephibosheth's field before he met Mephibosheth, right? He turned to Tziva and said, where's Mephibosheth? He said, I don't know, he doesn't want to come. He doesn't support your cause. He's not one of your constituents anymore. So he says, oh, if that's the case, take the field. Then he meets Mephibosheth, and something he's a little suspicious of, and says, Shmuel, so at the end of the day, he's not giving the field because of being Mekabel Lashon Hara. He's doing it because what he observed with his own two eyes. The problem is he gave the field earlier. So Rashi addresses the question. And Rashi says, similar to what he said earlier, you have to say this was all done ala tanai. Meaning, when he gave the field to Tziva, he didn't give it to him unequivocally. He gave it to him ala tanai. He says, I'm going to see how it plays out. Then he met Mephibosheth. He didn't like what was going on. So he said, Tziva, you're right. And instead of taking the whole field, split it in half. And that's what ended up happening. But the point is, whereas Rav was under the impression that that David did what he did simply because of what Tziva told him, meaning because he was Mekabel Lashon Hara, Shmuel held that had nothing to do with the Lashon. Either way, as a postscript to this Gemara, Meriv Baal. The pasuk refers to the son of Yohanesin as Meriv Baal. Was that his name? That pasuk is talking about Yohanesin, son of Mephibosheth. It's because he picked a fight kaviyachol with Hashem. Where do you see he picked a fight with Hashem? Lo yolecho yesh li taroimus. El al misha v'yacha b'sholem. Avtainas on a Kodesh Baruch who brought you back safely. I was hoping I was going to become the king. Yotzis a Baskel. Baskel came out of Amr Loi and said, Natsa bar Natsa. Natsa, as in someone that fights, the son of someone that fights. Natsa, Hadamar. What do you see that David, that Mipibosh has fought? This story right here. Tyroim is on a Kaddish Baruch, Bar Natsa. The Chsib is referring to his grandfather. Vayavo Shol, Ad Ir Amolek, Vayorev Banochal, Amar Amoni, Vayorev is Miloshe Miriva, Al Iske Nachal. The context over there is another well known chapter in Tanakh, and that is the story of Agag. So, Shmuel told Shaul that he's supposed to kill Agag, who was a descendant of Amalek, and he ended up having rachmanis on the women and on the children. He didn't want to kill them. And the Gemara says that the reason he didn't want to kill them was Vayorev Banochal, because he made a Kal V'chomer. He says, you see how valuable one life is from the parish of Egla Rufa, Al Iske Nachal. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to kill. But the point is that Shaul also made a meriva, Vayorev Banochal, Yoinesen, Shaul's son, who has a son, Mipibosheth did the same thing. So that's what he said. Mitoksha asa meriva and bailav. The Baskel said, Natsa bar Natsa, you're picking a meriva the same way your grandfather Shaul was Vayorev bar Nachal. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shosha, Amar David Mipibosheth, Atav Tziva Tachlik Vesasada. When David told Mipibosheth, you and Tziva should split the field, Yatsa Baskel, Amalei Baskel came out and said, Rechavam fi Yeravam Yachlik Vesa Melucha. Rechavam and Yeravam, one day, they're going to divide the Melucha. Unbelievable. That would be the beginning of, unfortunately, the downfall of Klal Yisrael. Om Rav Yudam Rav, Il Mali Leikibel David Lashin Hara, Le Nechlikom Malchus Beis David. We just say in the name of Rav, we're not for the fact that David and Malchus Bekabel Lashin Hara, Malchus Beis David would never have been divided, meaning you wouldn't have Rechavam and Yeravam. For Le Yavdi Yisrael Avay Zara, for like Galino Meartzenu, we would have never gone into Galus. In other words, we started off with a Gemara where Rav said that Kima'ainis be Bedavid, like Mishkachas be Barbed Uri, the only Averi he did is Uriah. And how do we end this Gemara? Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. What was the big Averi that David HaMelech did? What caused the Malchus to be divided? What caused the Yidden to do Avodah Zarah? What caused the Yidden to go to Galus? Ask anyone this question, he's going to get the wrong answer. Right, what was it? You say this, I don't know. It's David HaMelech, Batsheva, or you know, it's not what it was. Il Malei Leikibel David Lashin Hara. It was Lashin Hara. Lei Nechlika Malchus Beis David. Velei Avdu Yisrael Avodah Zarah. Velei Galino Me'arteinu. This is Mamish, the Yerushalmi that the Chafetz Chaim always brings. That you see that Lashin Hara is Shakul Kenege, the Gimel Averis Chamuris. You have a sugya again. But still, you have a sugya with David HaMelech and Batsheva, that's Gili Arayas. You have a sugya of David HaMelech with Uri Achiti, that's Shvichas Damim. Said Rabbi Yehuda Marav, it's nothing to do with that. It's Ilmoli Loikibel David Lashon Hara Loinechlikom Malchus Beis David. This is a story that most people don't even know. And yet, Chazal say here, tucked away, Shabbos Nunvavam Ibeis, that this is the story that caused Golus, it's what caused all the tzaras of Klal Yisrael to happen, but we're not finished yet. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonasan. So we had Kolaim Ruven Chata Ein Alataya, Kolaim Bnei Eli Chata Ein Alataya, Kolaim Bnei Shmuel Chata Ein Alataya, Kolaim David Chata Ein Alataya. Said Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, the name Rav Yonasan, Kolaim Shleimen Chata. Anyone that says that Shleimen Melech Sin Ein Alataya, Shenemar, because the pasuk says, V'lei Hoyo Levavi Shalim and Mashem Alikav, Kilavav David Aviv. Again, Kilavav David Aviv, who do I have? He wasn't on the same level as his father David HaMelech. However, Mechtanami Lechata, but at the same time, he didn't really sin. The truth is, if you go through the Psukim in Sefer Melachim Aleph, it's Perek Yud Aleph, the Psukim that talk about Shlomo HaMelech, some of these Psukim are very hard to read and certainly understand on the Torah Shebik Sav level. I mean, Shlomo HaMelech is the one that built the first base of Mikdash. He's one of the great tzaddikim, and yet the Pasuk seems to attribute things to Shlomo HaMelech, the Isik Nusay, that are very hard to fathom. And that's what Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, that Kolo'ima Shlomo Chata Enei Alataya, as it relates to that, we'll have to wait for tomorrow's daf. So we're going to stop a little prematurely. It got late early. But just to end with one ha'ara, and that is, so I think if you look at the last daf and a half from a very high level, it's very, very puzzling. I mean, you have a story that seems to say that Reuven did an Aveiru with Bila. Say Chazal, say, Kolo'im Reuven Chate Enei Alatoya. The Bnei Eli, Asher Yishkavun Anoshim Atzoivois. The Bnei Eli were cursed. The Gemara talks about it. It's mentioned so much in the Torah Shabbat Peh. Kolo'im Bnei Eli Chatu Enei Alatoya. The Bnei Shmuel, the Aveiru seems to be a little bit more subtle. Again, Kolo'im Bnei Shmuel Chatu Enei Alatoya. You have David HaMelech, Batsheva, Uri Achiti, the Pshutei Shal Mikra, very hard to understand. Kolo'im David Chatu Enei Alatoya. Shleim HaMelech. Maybe the sharpest psukim are regarding Shlomo HaMelech. Yet Kolo'im Shlomo Chata Enei Alatoya. So what's the pshat in this? I don't understand. If these averis didn't happen, then why would the pasuk say it as if it happened? So of course the standard answer will be that kafi their madrego tzadikim
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medaktik kechot ha'sayra, so it's nechshav on some level as if the avera happened, but it's still tzarech bir, because the pasuk seems to be speaking very, very sharp. We'll see more about this tomorrow, but the pasuk seems to be speaking very, very sharply about great tzaddikim, and there's no question that it's something that starts one of the great mysteries of all time. Why would the pasuk portray the story of David HaMelech the way it portrayed it, if that's completely not what happened? And the story of Reuven, you have to come on to the taich of the Ramah. These are things that are very much tzarech bir. But I think there's one Gemara in Masechtas Avodah Zarah that sheds a lot of light, I think, on the entire sugya that we're learning, specifically as it relates to David HaMelech. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan said, in the name of the great Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Loi David Roy Lo Isay Maisa, Velo Yisrael Ru'uyan Lo Isay Maisa. This Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai has always been Malamed Tzchus on Klai Yisrael. Kedai Rabbi Shimon, Lismachalo B'Shas Adchak. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that, you know, you read the Psukim of David and you can't read it. It's hard to read. So said Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Loi David Roy Lo Isay Maisa, Velo Yisrael Yisrael Ru'uyan Lo'isay Maisa. Lo'i David Ru'uyan Lo'isay Maisa. David really had no business being over the Aveira with Bathsheba. How do I know that? Because the Pasuk says, V'libachol B'kirbi. Read all the other Pesukim about David HaMelech. It doesn't fit in the context. There's no way in the world that this could have happened. V'lo Yisrael Ru'uyan Lo'isay Maisa. Which Maisa? The eagle. The Yidin, the Makabal, the Torah. Rosa Shivcha Bayom Ashalei Ro'i Yecheska Bambuzi Me'oilam. The Rambam Perikes Hulchas Yisoy Di HaTorah. Ato Reisol Adaski Hashem Hu Alikim Enoim Mavadi Matan Torah. 40 days later, Aluva Kalash is into Tachas. It's impossible. Loya, Ru'uyan, Loisa, and Maisa. So said, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, why did it happen? Elolama Asu, why did they do it? Loy Melacha, to teach us, Shemchata Yochid, if there's ever going to be a Yochid that's going to do an Aveira, and he's going to be hesitant to do tshuva. Reading from Rashi, why? Because he's going to say, I'm going to do tshuva? Why Ashuv? Because why Kableni? Who's going to have accept my tshuva? Where do I come to tshuva? Tshuva's meant, yeah, for someone that does this aver, that aver. Not my aver. Ayman lo, you know what we tell him? Klachetzel Yochid. Take a look at this Yochid. Take a look at David HaMelech. David HaMelech Batsheva. David HaMelech Uriah Chiti. And David HaMelech did tshuva. Not only did he do tshuva, but David HaMelech is Adonenu David. Mashiach is Mashiach ben David. He has the neshama of David HaMelech. David is the Ashpizin. Everything is Malchus based David. So if a person ever feels that he's in a state of Yish, that who in the world am I? What business? What chutzpah do I have to do? Tshuva wasn't meant for me. We made the most dramatic example possible. We took the biggest Averis and we attributed them to the biggest Tzaddik. That's essentially what we did. So there's no person in the world that can say, I don't fit within the confines of that. And as a result, what if a Tzibur does Averis? What if you have a whole Dar, Rachman al-Tzlan, that's doing Averis? We say, take a look at the Tzibur. If the Tzibur was able to do tshuva, you could do tshuva. Says the Gemara, I'm skipping. That's our whole sugya. Rab Shmuel Bar Nachmeini, Rab Yoinasan, Maidach Siv. What's Pshat in the Pasuk? Pasuk in Shmuel Beis. The Pasuk says, V'eila divrei David achroinim, Nu'um David ben Yishai, Unu'um agever, Hukam all Mashiach elikei Yaakov and Imzmiras Yisrael. David HaMelech was hukam all. What does it mean he was hukam all? Says the Gemara, Shehekim ula shel tshuva. David HaMelech is the semel. He's the symbol of what it means that a yid can do tshuva. If a person ever feels that he can't do tshuva, that he's in such a low state, whether he did such an aveira or whatever it is, there's no such thing. The answer is David HaMelech. Nu'um David ben Yishai u'nu'um agever hukam all. Nu'um David ben Yishai Shehekim ula shel tshuva. David HaMelech is Malchus based David, Mashiach's going to come from David HaMelech, but at the same time, David HaMelech goes down in history as the symbol of the Koyach HaTshuva. You want to know the Koyach HaTshuva? The Koyach HaTshuva you can learn from none other than David HaMelech. And there's a punchline there. The punchline is, it's Dafka from a great tzaddik to show that not only is there a concept of tshuva, but a person could do tshuva, and by doing tshuva, he can actually reach tremendous madregas. Meaning, tshuva is not a b'dieved. It's not like, okay, so I can go from being here to now I'm on. No, you can reach the highest madregas even after you had to come on to doing tshuva. David HaMelech had to do tshuva. Either way, that's why Chazal attributed these averis. That's why Chazal attributed, incidentally, the Pashup Shana, the Gemara, sounds like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was of the opinion he actually did the Avera. He did the Avera. It was just like David HaYeroi Loisei Maisa. V'lo Yisroel Ru'uyen Loisei Maisa. But the point is this. Chazal wanted to teach us a very important lesson. Chazal wanted to teach us that they were tzaddikim and they were great people. And even the tzaddikim, even the great people sometimes made mistakes. Sometimes they did Averas, but they did tshuva. And Avada, if we're going to walk away and think that Reuven was
was Vayishka Vizbilana in Elataya. And if you think David did Batsheva Uriachiti and Avera the way we think it, Avada in Elataya. But Chazal and the Psukim said it in a way where there's a lesson to be learned. The lesson is that it doesn't matter who you are and what Avera you did, there's always a Koyach HaTshuva, the Shari Tshuva never Ninalu, and that's the takeaway. I was thinking that in yesterday's daf, we had the Gemara. The Gemara said, Arba Mesu Be'et Yishal Nachash. There were four people that died Be'et Yishal Nachash. Who were they? Binyamin ben Yaakov, Amram Avi Moshe, Yishai Avi David, and Kilav ben David. So there were four tzaddikim that were perfect. They were Binyamin ben Yaakov, Amram the father of Moshe, Yishai the father of David, and Kilav the son of David. If you notice, all four of them were related to some of the all-time greats, right? Mamish, the Shpizen, right? Four, they're all related. Amram is the father of Moshe, not Moshe. It's Amram, it's Moshe's father. It's not David. It's Yishai, the father of David. Kilav ben David. Not Shloima ben David. David HaMelech's son. Shloima, right? Of course. Who else is it? You wake someone in the middle of the night. Who is David's son? Who's Shloima HaMelech? Havada. No, Kilav. Who's Kilav? That's a Yediyah. You have to know Shabbos, Lun Heyam, and Beis. You have to know a little Nacht to even know who Kilav is. It's Kilav ben David. And which son of... which? And it's Binyamin ben Yaakov. It's not Yosef. Yosef is the Yosef HaTzadik. Midas HaYosef. No, it's not Yosef. You know who it is? It's Binyamin. So it's amazing. What's Pshat? So why is it Yosef? It should have been Binyamin. Binyamin was perfect. He was perfection. Why is it David HaMelech? It should be Yishai. It's the same Yichas brief. Yishai also traces himself back. So why is it Ben David? Why is it Mashiach Ben David? It should be Mashiach Ben Yishai. Why is it Moshe? It should be Amram. Why is it Kilav? It should be Shloima. Maybe there's a lesson over here. Maybe the lesson is because art's greatest tzaddikim, the manhigim, the ones through which we've had our Messiah, were not perfect. They weren't, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't perfect. Yana Shaloi Hamantembi. You have no pasuk like that about Yishai. That's a pasuk that you have about Moshe Rabbeinu. David HaMelech wasn't perfect. We just learned today's daf. You have to come on to Kaloim David Chateinu. You need Teresh Malpevides. Yishai was perfect, but David wasn't perfect. Shloima HaMelech wasn't perfect. Kilav was perfect. Shloima HaMelech, we'll see in tomorrow's daf, wasn't perfect. And Yosef HaTzadik was also not perfect. Misalsa, besides, Yosef HaTzadik wasn't perfect. Who was perfect? Binyamin was perfect. But it's not through perfection. It's not through perfection. This world's not a perfect world, right? We didn't have the Luchas Rishonis. I think Rapam used to say it was the Luchas Shnias, because nothing's perfect. It's always plan B. It's not perfect. Life's not perfect. It doesn't work out that way, and it's okay. Our greatest leaders of all time weren't the perfect. The Arba Mesu Be'et Yishal Nachash is a trivia question. It's a Gemara tucked away in Shabbos Nun Heyam Ed Beis. It's not part and parcel of the Messiah. We don't sit down and say Ashpiza the Yishai. You don't say Ashpiza the Kilav. What do you mean? It's the greatest tzaddik of all time. The Chasam Sofer, who talks about this in his Petuche Chaisim, he says Chanoich was perfect. Vayisal Chanoich Asol Ikimi became the Malach Matat. But yet Klaiso came from Avram. Avram wasn't perfect. Avram wasn't on the same level of Chanoich, because Hashem doesn't pick the most perfect ones. Even the world that we have right now, there's a Medrash that says that when Eved created the world, Hayubayno Machr, Bayno Machr, Hashem was creating worlds and destroying worlds until he finally picked this world. And the Sfarim HaKadoshim say, the Chassidish Sfarim, that why did Hashem have to destroy worlds? Hashem destroyed the world. Hashem couldn't get it right the first time. It's a medrash. If he was coming to teach a lesson, no one gets it right the first time. We all fall. We all make mistakes. We live in a world that was a plan B. The luchis that we got were a plan B. Our manhigim, our tzaddikim, they all had kupay shel shiratzim. We have to come on to a sugi like today's daf, the kaloimer, chata, enei alataya, and this is the way it is, and it's okay. That's a trivia question, but in terms of the Messiah, yeah.